Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
Welcome to the Triple M Sunday Rub
for McDonald's Chicken Big Mac.
Triple M rocks footy.
Blues, do they keep it alive? Do they win the game? I think they may.
5 seconds on the clock. Ball goes out the wing. 2 seconds on the clock. Haven't heard the siren. There it is. A famous win for the Old Navy Blues. Come by a point.
The Suns will bring it back in. What a magnificent fortnight it's been for the Blues. And there it is. Carlton, a game out of the eight. 10-point winners here over the Suns.
That's the people's call of Barry Danner, dominating on Saturday Night Football, as did Carlton. Not too far out of the eight. What a wonderful win by the Carlton Footy Club. We'll get into that in a moment. This is the Sunday Rub. We've got a lot of guests coming your way. Callum Mills will join us shortly from the Swans after a big win by that footy club, and we can discuss all about Buddy v. Alex Rance. Roosie's story, we go back to 1985. Cade Simpson from the Blues joins us. And the game today, the Bulldogs take on the Demons. We'll speak to Melbourne assistant Jade Rawlings, as well as the stoppages coach from the Western Bulldogs, Daniel Gian Siracusa. Big lead in today. Mark Howe with you. Wayne Swash, Wayne Carey, Jay Clark and Paul Roos. Great to see all you boys. And Ducky Boy, great to see you back after a nice little spell in Bali.
Yeah, g'day boys. Got a little bit of a cold coming back to this very, very cold weather here in Melbourne, but very relaxing, very mentally refreshed.
Howie. Is that fake tan or is that the real stuff you're rolling out with at the moment?
No, this is real. And I wasn't very sun smart, let's put it that way.
Give me a comparison as I welcome all the boys along. Previous trips to Bali where you might have been on a footy trip, etc., to this time being dad of the year with a 2.5-year-old. Slightly different trips, I would have thought, Doug.
Very, very different. And if you've been to Canggu, is that how you pronounce it?
It is.
They've got a lovely water park there, the Canggu Club. It's called Splash. And I spent most of my time at Splash with all the other mums and dads and up and down slides and everything else, but it was lovely. Great time.
This is a very different type of trip, Roosie, I would have thought, from maybe Duck in his heyday.
Well, Swatter's probably better qualified than me to talk about Duck's previous trips.
Pleading the fifth today. Are you a boardies or a speedos man when you're over there, Ducky boy?
Thong.
No. I reckon there's an element of truth in that.
Oh, I wouldn't
say. I'm a very much a boardy man, Swatter. Very, very much a boardy man.
Well, great to have you all here and really looking forward to this game. The Bulldogs taking on the Demons. But Jay-Z, the Blues last night, led by Bryce Gibbs, who played one of the great games of football. It was stirring stuff for Carlton. We saw them here last Sunday, 1-point winners. Now they've knocked off the other expansion club.
Knocked off the premiership favourite last week. And you thought, could they back it up away against Gold Coast, who can be a little bit streaky? It is a massive tick for Brendan Bolton, the senior coach there in the rebuild under Stephen Silvagni, because they're playing a very committed, disciplined brand of football. And as you said, Bryce Gibbs, I mean, his future was up in the air. You go back, what was it, 9 months, Adelaide were chasing him. Carlton resisted that trade and he was stuck at Carlton against his contract. And last night, I think he becomes the first player in the game's history to have 40 possessions, 10 tackles, a stack of clearances and those two last quarter goals, which were so crucial. I just take my hat off him. And if you're Carlton, because Adelaide are expected to go for him again to bring him back to South Australia, if you're Carlton, I mean, his stock's going up. You're going to hold on to him again, don't you think?
Yeah, and if you're Adelaide watching that game, you're thinking, why didn't we get it done? Mm. Oh, I think from Carlton's point of view, and we've seen a fair bit of them, Duck, and look, you're right, they're committed to a game plan, which you love. Now, they're not going to win every game, clearly, from the back end of the year, but even when they're losing, you know, you can see what they're trying to do. And I think if you're a Carlton supporter coming to a game watching it, you know they're a really hard team to score against. You know their ball use is reasonably conservative, but that's the way they play. And last week, we touched on it after the game. They weren't going to beat themselves against the Giants, and they didn't. Yeah. And it was similar last night. You touched on Gibbs, but I think when you're rebuilding JG, there's enormous and there's always pressure on your better players. But if they're playing well, it takes so much pressure off the youngsters. Gibbs, Murphy, Cripps, Doherty and Simpson.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're not the two best sort of wing defence combination where they tend to, I think they throw them around a bit early, and then their organisation skills behind the ball is just exceptional. When you've got those five players playing so well, everyone's committed to the game style, then you're going to get the results that, that they've got the last couple of weeks.
If you look at expectation, I wrote an article a couple of days ago about Dame. I thought Damien Hardwick at this stage of the year was coach of the year.
I thought that was Matty Lloyd wrote that article.
No, he copied me the day after.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Yeah. I know that you both wrote exactly the same article in two different publications.
So, wow, mighty. Anyway.
did you get two checks?
But if you look at Carlton, you'd have to say, given expectation and where people thought they would be this year, people thought that they'd go backward. I think they won seven games last year.
Yep.
And that was a surprise to people. So people thought they'd probably take a little step backwards this year. In actual fact, some people were saying they wouldn't win a game at all, Roosie. So I reckon the performance of this team has been just remarkable. They have been very, very good.
Hey, I agree with what you said before, Roosie, with regards to those better players for the Blues leading the way for the young kids to follow. We can't underestimate the performance and the influence that Matty Cruiser's
having. Cruiser, yeah.
He was big last week against the Giants, Shane Mumford. Didn't dominate with possessions last night, but when you have a ruckman who's really influencing the contest around the ground, it gives those other quality midfielders and halfback flankers that service that they thrive on.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's the other one I've missed. But if you're looking at, and there might be one or two others, I'm trying to think through the list, but if you've got, I mean, that's six senior players out of your 18 that's on the ground. Now, they're not always on the ground, but mathematically, that's a third of your team. So it's a big, if they're playing really, really well, Swider, that's a really big chunk of your team that is enables those youngsters to maybe go through those little rough patches in a game or have an off week. So they've been exceptional. The other one, have you seen Lynch been pants like did last
Jones.
Night? Liam Jones. I haven't seen him get beaten so comprehensively in a game of football, and I rate him as highly as any forward duck in the competition.
Yeah, it's remarkable, isn't it? Because a lot of people that I spoke to during the week, having not seen that game last week, and they said he was fantastic.
He was.
On the big general pattern. And then people were saying, well, you know, is this a one-off? Mm. Is he capable of doing that on a Lynch?
That's a fair question to have asked based on recent form.
Absolutely. And the one thing that we've always known, and I've probably been a little facetious at times about Liam Jones. The fact that he does 10.5 on the beep test. I mean, I could do that backwards. So you sort of say to yourself, well, is this guy fit enough to play AFL footy? But what we've always known is he's a power athlete. They always say his explosiveness, his leap, all of those things are elite at elite level. And for them to have the courage and say, okay, you can't play forward. You just haven't got the fitness. You can't lose your opponent. You know, you're sort of a good mark here, a good mark there. To have the courage and say, okay, we're now going to send you back and to do a job on, well, one young up-and-coming forward and then on arguably the best big man in the game, probably behind Buddy Franklin. That's very good and a big tick to him. Good on him.
Mm. I wonder, fellas, whether the only question mark over this Carlton resurgence at the moment is in part their game style, because Roosie, they do play it and they're comfortable to play it in the back half of their game, and they reduce these games to sort of low scoring games. So when clubs are increasingly able to kick 100 points, can they go to the next level and then sort of build up or improve that offensive part of their game? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
is the game style sort of almost
point,
too defensive?
Well,
or?
You get the defense right first, don't
yeah,
you? And
absolutely.
Then you build from
yeah.
that.
You get your contest area right first, so your ability to win contested ball, because that's where the game starts. I think, and I just had this discussion with someone else, there's very few games in the world that go back to a contest as in ball up. You know, most games start with one team having it. So that's why contest is so important in our game. So you start with contest and the ability, but that's going to waver a bit with younger teams, because that's a constant state of flux, because you've got to teach kids as they're coming in. Then you build on defense, because most kids coming into footy can get the ball. There's no problems about that. The other thing about offense, Jay-Z, is that's obviously dictated by your talent base. So as Petrescu Seaton gets more experienced, Jack Silvani gets, they're just going to get more of the ball naturally. So as you're better players, then your scoring is going to increase naturally, because the talent level of those young kids is going to improve after pre-season. So I don't have a problem with that, because offense is more talent-based and skill-based, and defense is more mindset. So you can
build from the back.
Well, we've seen Richmond, and we'll talk about them later, but we've seen those young forwards of Richmond. They can tackle. Yeah. They often can't win the footy duck.
Yeah.
They might have four, five, six possessions. A few of them were down yesterday, but they're still able to tackle. They're still able to chase. So I'm confident enough as they get better that'll improve naturally.
A really nice win by the Blues. Could they play finals, Jay-Z? That's just a logjam between 5th and 15th.
The ladder is extraordinary. I reckon it's the biggest story in football at the moment. Only two wins separate 4th from 15th. So 8 points separate top four from bottom four. So you look at clubs sort of down the bottom, Collingwood in 13th, Gold Coast 14th to a lesser extent, Sydney in 12th. There are going to be some massive twists and turns in the back half of this season, because if you get hot in that second part, maybe even the last month, you're going to be able to jump up, I think, into the top four. So no one's discounting themselves out at this race.
Will 11 wins this year get you into
it
the
could
top?
It could get you in. 11 wins.
And a good percentage.
Good percentage.
Is that the biggest story in footy, Jay-Z? We've had the best season in AFL history, and we're worrying about the runner, because the runner in one game in 100 games is disturbed the contest, and we're worried about the runner.
We'll get to that later.
I can't believe that, Jay-Z. I thought the runner was the biggest story in football.
We can get distracted, Rosie. This is why we've got learned gentlemen like yourself in the commentary box.
Did you do your yoga this morning? Because you came in a bit punchy about an article
I've been sitting on that for a while.
The full relaxation this morning or not?
I did meditate this morning. But I've been sitting on that for a while because I just think we do get distracted in this game.
Yep.
And leadership for me is someone at the AFL coming out and saying, guys, we've had 100 games, great season.
Upsets.
We'll look after the runner. We'll find him if he's in the wrong spot. Mm. Let's move on. That's leadership in the AFL.
Yeah. What would you be thinking if you are one of these clubs, say Collingwood 13th or Sydney 12th? I mean, you would use this as a coaching tool with your boys. The opportunity's there. We get out to trot in the second half of the season. Not only can you finish top eight, top four. I mean, the carrot's there for everyone.
Look, I think let's take Sydney for an example. I mean, no one gets ahead of themselves. I mean, it generally is 1 week at a time. But they would be aware that 11 wins will get you in. Now, the difference between this year, excluding last year, so the preceding seasons, you might even look at the ladder, and I'm not saying, but maybe a Sydney looks at the ladder 3 years ago and goes, well, is it worth getting into eighth? Yeah. Absolutely now it's worth getting into the eighth spot.
Good point.
Because there's a bye week prior to the final starting. 100% it's worth getting. If Sydney gets eighth spot, would you want to be sitting in fifth?
No.
Playing Sydney in eighth spot.
Yeah.
In previous years, what you may have done is gone, oh, okay. So that's a massive advantage for Sydney Swans, whoever that eighth team. But particularly Sydney, because we know as a grand final team last year, no one's going to want to play the Swans if they finish seventh or eighth.
Yep.
Callum Mills not too far away from joining us. You talked about Liam Jones and his endurance. I like to keep an eye on Twitter to see what you've been doing and what Duck's been doing. Our man Jay-Z, who it'd be fair to say went off the rails last week when his wife was away.
I had a few drinks with friends, because it doesn't happen very often. I'm a devoted family man, Duck. While you're away.
Four nights in a row he did it. Turned up here
still
on brewery.
Quiz, Duck. Still
but send out a photo this week on Twitter. I read you from Jay Clark's Twitter feed. Session one done at SP10. So he's tweeting to Scott Pendlebury. Oh. Chance to look unbelievable. How's my rig? And a picture of himself post a training session with a real baggy type T-shirt on with sweat pouring off him. Just trying to show what he's been doing in the
gym.
Not
ready for public photos,
Jay. I'll be honest with you, Howie. I was doing a podcast with Scott 2 weeks ago, and I sort of hadn't really been as disciplined, committed to the physical side of life as I should have been.
Hang on, you got
Mitchell
something to say, Doug?
Boy, oh boy, if I look like that, I wouldn't be posting.
Go on, Jay-Z.
Well, I was doing a podcast, and I sat up, and my button popped off my pants. And then Scott looked at the button, which was on the ground, and he hit me between the eyes with some pretty direct feedback. So I had to get moving, Howie. And the first step is always the hardest, so I'm on a mission.
What type of session did you do?
Grueling. I nearly vomited on his rowing machine, let's be honest. I knew I was in trouble 5 minutes into a 40-minute session.
How often are you doing it?
Well, I've done one.
Once a year. Do a minimum of 3 a week.
Progressive once a year
fitness
enough,
in Richmond. Cut back on the carbs.
Yeah, I've done that. No
alcohol ban for a while.
Yeah, no chocolate.
He's just
last
eaten a whole nut. Yeah.
And maybe just a slightly baggier T-shirt next time round, I would have thought.
Well, they were 0-6 at the end of round six, the Sydney Swans. Roosie, they now sit 5-7. They can't afford to drop too many. Yesterday at the MCG, it looked as though they were going to go down to the Tigers, but they found a way to win. And a man who's playing a really important role is Callum Mills. He's getting ready to board a plane before they head back to Sydney today. Callum, welcome. Congratulations on a gutsy come-from-behind win yesterday.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it was a ripping win, and probably one of the best wins I've been involved with at the club. It was very exciting.
Yeah, mate, look, I guess it was a case of two halves, wasn't it? I heard just John Longmire's press conference afterward, but probably the first thing you guys needed to address, I guess, at halftime was your contested ball numbers. I mean, you were minus 15, and certainly something the Swans really pride themselves on. So was that a big discussion point at halftime?
Yeah, definitely. I think were really reactive to the Tigers, and we didn't go out on the front foot. And I think they obviously smashed us and contested ball, and even around the scramble, they were just reacting quicker than us, and they obviously wanted it more than us in the first quarter, so and first half really. So we managed to turn it around, which is a pleasing thing.
Yeah, look, it was a terrific second half. I think the other thing you, I mean, you looked a little bit in disarray down back. I mean, they've got a lot of smalls, and obviously with only one tall, which is Jack Riewoldt. I thought they got the better of the matchups in the first half, and then again at half time, it seemed that you guys must have chatted about it, or you're just a lot calmer in the second half as a defence, and you seemed to get more of the matchups that you wanted. So it was advantage Richmond in the first half, and it looked like it was advantage Swans in that department in the second half.
Yeah, definitely. They've got quite an interesting forward line with the only one tall, as you said. But no, they're really talented. And I think the main thing was that we got our pressure up around the ball and we started winning contested ball, so we could, as defenders, really set up much better, and the ball wasn't coming out so fast. And I think they definitely got the upper hand of us in the first half and got some really quick, good front and centre players, and they took advantages in the first half.
I think it's a really good point, Cal, isn't it? Because if there's really pressure around the ball, even when the opposition wins, that it comes in long and high, and that was a big factor. First half, they were able to get some really easy ball. I thought their ball use in the first half was fantastic. They didn't go long to the top of square that often. They really changed the angles, lowered their eyes, and in the second half, your mids probably forced them to kick it in longer and higher, which made your job a bit easier.
Yeah, definitely. I think, and that was a focus for us going in. We put enough pressure on the ball and denied them from uncontested mark, forced them to do high kicks and long into the forward line. And with our height advantage, we thought that would work, and we managed to carry that out in the second half, which was really pleasing.
Cal, it was hard to take your eyes off the Buddy Franklin versus Alex Rance matchup. It was almost Carey versus Djokovic from a while ago. Just admiring that from the other end, did you sort of think, you know, Rance was having such an influence on the game and was... the direction from John Longmire, boys, can you stop kicking it to him?
Oh, it's hard to see down the other end. I think I'm too busy trying to get a breath, really, for me to witness what was going on. But, no, they're obviously two great players, and for them to go head-to-head is probably great for the fans. But, yeah, no, I can't take too much attention because I'm too busy getting my breath back.
Hey, Cal, Nick Newman, only 9 games, but I thought his performance yesterday was instrumental in the ability to come back and win the game.
Yeah, he was incredible. He won so many one-on-one contests that, you know, if he lost them, it would be detrimental for them to, you know, move the ball. But he stopped so many plays, especially in that last quarter on the wing. He stood up in a couple of big moments, and he's a ripping bloke and a really good footy player.
Mate, I think the good thing, I mean, frustrating early in the year because you've had so many injuries, but I guess as following from what Swatter's said, I guess now it's going to translate because a lot of those young kids, Will Hayward's been terrific, Newman, as Swatter mentioned. So now that you're starting to get players back, those young guys that got some game time perhaps wouldn't have had there not been the injuries, but it certainly stood them in good stead. And I thought yesterday, you know, Joey Kennedy's last quarter was fantastic, but in the first three quarters, he struggled a bit. Hannah's was down a little bit. It was the younger guys that really were able to get you back in the game, which was fantastic.
Yeah, it's really pleasing. I think we obviously... you know, look for our leaders to pave the way. But sometimes when that doesn't happen, the young boys stand up. It's really massive, and it also helps the leaders. It sort of works both ways, really. And, you know, when you have a full team performance, it's hard to lose almost, if that makes sense.
Cal Ruzzi here, our man, was saying he basically made you as a player, teaching you all the facets of the game back in the academy. Just enlighten us. So how much influence did the great man here have on you?
Just so we're clear, probably Cal was the worst player that I had to deal with. And he came in the academy at about under 13s. He could barely kick the football. I had him from 3 years and turned him from absolutely nothing into what we see today.
Yeah, Ruzzi didn't talk to me for 4 years before football, so I can't say it's really Ruzzi.
Well, give Smithy a pump up then, will you?
Yeah, it was all Chris Smith, really. I think once Ruzzi figured out I could kick a footy after 4 years, then he started
teaching me the finesse of the game, really.
Sort of lines up with what Maxi Gawn said about Roosies last year. He just didn't turn up, Kel, when he was at the Demons. It was all Simon Goodwin. Well, and that sort of lines up with what you've said.
The three biggest troublemakers the three biggest troublemakers I've dealt with in football are Max Gawn, Callum Mills and Isaac Heaney. So,
hey, Cal.
If it was raining, which it very rarely was in Sydney, I don't think Roosie would rock up the train.
A really nice way to finish off, Cal, off the back of a great come-from-behind win. You take on the Bombers next Friday night at the SCG. You win that, you've almost squared the ledger. You take on the Demons, Roosie's old side, in 2 weeks' time. Really appreciate you joining us. Well done, and rest up. Get ready for next week against the Bombers.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Great to speak to Callum Mills. Roosie, I say this with the greatest possible respect because I have enormous respect for you. But speaking to a couple of your past players in recent weeks, it sounds like you could have been a touch lazy at times, Roosie. Maybe a bit slack.
If you're going to believe Max Gawn, you're in trouble.
Hey, it was one of the great battles yesterday, Jay-Z. It was like the old time when Duck would play on Djokovic, or you'd be looking for a battle within a battle. And thanks to the coaches, they provided that with us with Rance and Franklin, and it didn't let down.
It was brilliant. And Rance was almost a little bit quietish in the first half, but Jizzy took charge of this contest in the third and fourth quarters. There was some byplay between Buddy and Rance with a push and shove that gave Rance a free kick. Might have been a little bit of a dive, but it's these great individual battles which have almost been lost a little bit in the game. I remember the Duck versus Kerry battles. I had the poster on my wall. They were just so brilliant, but now with the zoning off and the rotations, we've lost them a little bit. But yesterday, the coaches delivered us that game, and it was Rance, albeit on a losing side, clearly took the points. And now the discussion is, right, how good is this bloke? Is he the greatest defender of the past 30 years or just the modern era, Roosie? And we were just talking about his game off air. You must have marvelled at the way sort of Rancey could not only work in the one-on-one but then intercept clearly.
Yeah, look, I find it really hard to judge players from different eras because the game changes, evolves. What I would say about Rance, I think he's the guy that's really, as a centre back, has adjusted to the game. He's adjusted to the zones. He's adjusted to the one-on-one when he has to be one-on-one. He's adjusted to the roll-off where he can help his teammates. So I think he is the best, yeah, currently at the moment. Is he? I mean, Scarlett was a great player. You can go through, I mean, Ducky, you played him, some terrific players, but you can go through them. But I think that's irrelevant. I think as the game is now, when you watch him play, because what he was able to do was force Buddy out of the forward line. Buddy actually played high half forward wing in the last quarter. And the interesting thing is, it then allowed Rance to really get into the game. So he'd won the one-on-one matchups with Buddy. Then then you saw his influence in about four or five contests in a row when he was able to play on a lesser player and get to a different contest, beat a different opponent, get the ball out of it. So you saw all his skill set in one game yesterday.
Yeah, I thought in the one-on-ones, I thought they were fairly even when they were actually matched one-on-one. But what Rance influences with his other defenders, that's what makes Rance such a great defender for mine. Like, there were times where he just didn't have a right to get to that ball, get a fingernail in, swatter, get a fist in, get a hand in. The desperation that he shows, he's outnumbered, he turns that into a win for his team. So it's all of those things on top of his one-on-one work. But in terms of the body-to-body at times, I thought it was pretty even. I thought Buddy was really unlucky late in the game and at an important stage where Buddy just used his body. Rance came back, hit his shoulder, Buddy protected the space, took a mark, and the umpire paid it, pushing the back. I thought that was the wrong decision. But he's a star. He's the best defender, I've been saying for a while. Best defender in the game.
How would you play Alex Rance if you were playing against him today?
Well, you want to make him accountable. I think he's susceptible. I think one-on-one marking contest. If you're a strong mark, I think that's where you can get Rance.
Shoulder to shoulder.
As in shoulder to shoulder. But Buddy Franklin is not a great mark. No. We know that. And I'm not saying that Rance hasn't played on players that are great marks. But Rance's greatest strength is his ability to read the game and then get off and influence other contests. And obviously win his contest, but influence other contests.
Yeah, and I don't underestimate Asprey's role in this as well.
Yeah, he was tremendous.
I think the fact that they've now got two guys, and Asprey can lock down a bit, Grimes as well, I don't think you underestimate that impact on Rance and his ability to now have faith and trust. There's more pressure from his midfield. The balloon balls are coming in rather than lace out balls. So it's a lot harder for forwards on him now, because I agree with Duck. He does, and all players have weaknesses, you know. He does have a weakness. His weakness is if you get him side to side or if you force him under the ball as Buddy did. He yep. does have a weakness. But it's very hard to exploit a weakness if the ball's coming in balloon ball, because he generally plays from behind. He's got good closing speed. And if the ball's not coming lace out, it's very, very difficult, because he's able to close down those kicks.
Tell the other thing that he does really well, but this is what the forwards, some of the current day forwards do wrong, Roosie, is when you're running back towards goal, what Rant and what good defenders don't do, they never take their eyes off the footy. Forwards take their eyes off the footy for some reason when they're running back into the space. And then the kick comes in, Rance has read it. The forward turns around, Rance has already got it and taken off. It's just it's a common thing, but for whatever reason, forwards are doing it more and more, and that suits Rance to a T.
Will there be much made of the free kick where Rance, in some people's eyes, dived? I think that was a little bit harsh, or whether he staged. He was given a free kick that he probably didn't deserve.
Yeah, it definitely was staging, and the AFL's been very lax on this, Howie. So it was a push and shove between Buddy and Rance, and first of all, Rance shoves Buddy in the chest, and then Buddy, with the exact equal force, hits Rance back, just that sort of jabby shove. And then Rance buckled at the knees, goes to ground, and draws the free kick. And the game was still very much alive at this point. So I wonder, he'll just get a letter. The AFL will just say, look, just be careful of this. Don't do it again, essentially. I wonder, from a coaching perspective, whether that's smart, Roosie and Duck, or whether you actually think that's not a great look.
Look, I was calling the game, and I think I said it was the best dive since I'd seen the Olympic diving championship. So, but the umpire's in charge.
Greg Louganis.
He was a very good diver.
Hit his head the umpire
is in charge at should that not. Moment. Yep. The umpire should not have given Rance a free kick.
Okay. I mean,
and that's where it should start and stop. Rance comes in, and I agree, does exactly the same thing to Buddy. Buddy does it back to Rance. Rance does the triple Lindig and gets a free kick. So the umpire should not pay the free kick.
Don't get sucked in.
Don't get sucked in. Just don't pay the free kick, and that's the end of story.
What do you think, Duck?
Yeah, well, obviously the umpire has reacted to what has been going on, and I guess he's just made a mistake. I mean, there's been a lot of those jump punches high and, you know, hits high and all that sort of stuff, so they've just reacted to that. It was just a mistake. And Rance, I think if he had his time again, he probably wouldn't have dived as far.
We mentioned at the start you taking on Djokovic. Overall, who was the winner in your mind out of those battles?
Well, it's a lot harder to mark it than it is punch it.
I'll ask you again, who was the winner out of those battles?
As I just said, it's a lot harder to mark it than punch it.
That's Duck saying it was me, Howie. Get on with it, but it was me. I think we know what he means.
Gather round, boys and girls. It's story time with Roosie.
Yeah, story time with Roosie. Didn't get a run last week, and 9 a.m. Monday morning, Lee Simon, our man in charge of football, apparently got an email from Roosie saying, what about the story time? So you've got your space now, Roosie. We're going back to 1985. You're at Fitzroy, and the great man who's had so much to do with footy as a coach, player and broadcaster, Robert Walls, was in charge.
Yeah, look, this story was probably prompted a little bit by Parker and Walls. He did their best team, and I was really fortunate to be coached by both those guys, and it prompted a story about Walsy. We were playing Melbourne, I think it was either 84 or 85. We were playing Melbourne at the MCG, and we were actually getting beat. We were about 10 goals down, Swatter, and the siren had gone. David Cordner, I think it was, had a shot for goal about 60 metres out from goal. Gary Pert was standing in the goal square. He was our fullback at the time. So siren sounded. We've been soundly beaten anyway. I was playing centre half back. I think I had a pretty good game.
You've been sitting next Cordner, to Duck Martin.
Well, he just said punching's harder than marking, so I can stand up for the centre half backs. So Cordner's kicked the ball from about 60 out. And I remember turning around. I was about 30 metres out from goal, turning around, thinking someone will touch it through. It's not a big deal. And I turned around. Gary Pert was shaking Adrian Batterson's hand in the goal square. As the ball came past, Purdy moved his head back so the ball didn't hit his melon, didn't touch it, went through for a goal. And I thought, wow, I hope Wolsey didn't see that. So we've got in the rooms after the game, and let me tell you, Wolsey did see that. And the old MCG rooms were quite small, and what he did is he jammed us in where the actual showers and the toilets are. And we're all sitting there really, really tightly together. And his first question was, And it was sort of one of those questions you're just not sure whether you're supposed to answer it. Who let that goal through at the end? And there was a little bit of silence. And I was sitting next to Purdy and I could think, Purdy, can you just, I don't know, whether you put your hand up or you say it was me or whatever, but can you please just own up? So Purdy's had a cup of orange cordial back in those days and he's sort of sitting there and like a little kid that's done something wrong and Ballsy was literally directly in front of him and Purdy just stuck the finger up like he was signalling out LBW at the Gabba or something. And Wolsey goes, bloody oath it was you, and knocked his cordial, and it went all over everybody in the room. So that I thought was the end of it. Anyway, we turned up to training the next morning, and we had a meeting at Northcote in the meeting room, and I remember Laurie Serafini hadn't even played. And as a non-player, you're disappointed, but at least you're going to these meetings knowing you're not going to get cooked. You know, someone else is going to take the brunt. But poor Sarah had a lot of injuries and had a pretty tough trot and was the happiest bloke you'd ever meet, Sarah. Like, really, really good fella. And the start of the cook went, and where's Sarah? Where are you, Sarah? And I could just sense Sarah going, well, hang on, I didn't play. He goes, are you ever going to play? You need to be 110% fit to play and you've always got a smile on your face. I thought, poor Sarah. Anyway, so Purdy's the reason why Wolsey's so upset. We'd obviously lost the game. So we couldn't train, Purdy and I, and he said, right, all this is Wolsey. He said, all these guys, anyone that can get their runners on, put your runners on. So everyone's put their runners on that could, and he's left Northcote Oval. So we're standing there thinking, well, we're just going to go for a recovery run. Wolsey's not super fit. So
he's gone on the run.
Wolsey's led the charge. Right. So he's led out the gate. So I'm looking at my watch going, oh, I've got to get home. I'm a bit tired. 15 minutes has gone past. 30 minutes has gone past. 45 minutes has gone past. An hour's gone past. Over two hours later, Wolsey's come back in and then obviously the guys behind him. Over two hours he's run for. And what he did was, because every time someone got in front of him, he just turned right at a street, left at another street. He was that angry. He just kept on running.
Forrest.
And I remember talking to him a while later because while he'd calmed down, he said it took him 2 months to recover. 2 months to recover from his two-hour run. So,
good.
Purdy, if you're out there listening, you cost us and you know it.
That's a nice little addition of Roosie's story time. A little bit more PG than when Duck and Schwatter started to take over that segment when Roosie was away. Talking about story time, Paddy Dangerfield, wonderful footballer, always writes a very nice article in the Sunday Herald Sun.
In good writing form too. He wrote a great one the other week.
Is this ghost written? How does this work, Jay-Z? Paddy comes up with the ideas or what happens?
I think he sits down with one of our journos, whether it's Sammy Edmund or Scotty Gullen. Scotty Gullen.
Right.
They've been helping with him and they might thrash out a few ideas and the journal sort of helps him punch it out.
Well, let me say, before we go too far into this, I love Paddy's articles. I think he's very astute. He's always spot on. And I came in today saying, oh, boys, did you read the article from Paddy Dangerfield? And Duck and Roosie have just sort of looked at me and shaken their heads. Now, I'll summarise it for you in two paragraphs. This is what Paddy's written. If Tony Lockett or Jason Dunstall played in 2017, they wouldn't be at the top of the all-time list with 1,360 and 1,254 goals respectively. They wouldn't have kicked anywhere near those many goals the way modern footy is played. I'm paraphrasing him there. Then I'll quote him again. Flipping it the other way, if Buddy had played in the 1980s to 90s, he would have finished his career with 2,000 goals.
Well, I actually think the complete opposite to that. I think if Tom Hawkins can play at his club, and I'll use him as an example because he plays with Paddy, then Tony Lockett would kick 4,000 goals. Because
4,
one, you can't, one, you're not allowed to hang on like they used to hang on. One, you're not allowed to chop the arms. I mean, it's way more in a forward's advantage now. Tony Lockett was an explosive beast, quicker than Tom Hawkins, better one-on-one than Hawkins, better hands than Hawkins, better kick than Hawkins, all of that. So I think Paddy is probably looking through the glasses of the modern game, and the modern game's a great game, but Tony Lockett would seriously kick way more goals than what he kicked if he was in the game today.
So you're not thinking Buddy would have ended up kicking 2,000 goals if he was playing in your time?
No, I don't.
Roosie?
Oh, look, the thing with the art, and
it's
look,
completely different.
I agree with Paddy. Like, I agree with you on Paddy. Terrific fella, and but the lack of research going into the article is probably the thing that amazes me, because you talk about, I mean, the way they spoke about, and I'm not one to say the old game is better. Let me be really clear on that.
And I'm sure
Ducks are saying the modern game is so much better. But the old game was played often in the mud. Every single ruckman in the competition
was standing in front of you.
Every single ruckman in the competition dropped back. You could chop the arms. You could nudge. You could hang on. You had back pockets.
You could punch in the back of the head.
So where he talks about one-on-one contest, and I'll tell you, I played on Duck one day. I think it was at the Western Oval. And my whole strategy playing on Duck, Jimmy Manson was the ruckman, and everywhere that I stood was so Duck had to lead to where the ruckman was. Every time I went for a mark, I chopped his arms. And I say, because that was part of what you did back then.
It's funny you say that, and I remember that was the first time that ever happened to me. I mean, guys would come up and spoil and try to take, but Roosie had this technique, and I'll never forget it, because I would have whinged to the umpires.
No doubt.
But I'll never forget it, the first time that it ever happened to me, and it was Roosie. So you'd put your hands up. Now, generally, people can, you know, you can chop the arm, and if you're strong in the arms, you can sort of generally still keep your hands up and still take the mark. Roosie had this ability to just as the ball's about to hit your hands, just put his hand on your arm and just pull it down at the right, just a little pull at the right moment, so it was bang, and there was no way you could mark the footy. Now, you're not allowed to do that anymore. So, you know, I'd look, don't get me wrong, I know where Paddy's coming from.
Yeah.
Buddy Franklin's a great player. But I think he's wrong when it comes to Tony Lockett and Dunstall. I think they would kick a lot of goals. Their hands, both of those guys' hands, are better than any player that's playing out there today.
I put it to you two that maybe, well, Roosie, you might be disappointed with the article and getting into it, because it's a little paragraph here that I've just read. There was no such thing as Paul Roos' 2005 flooding tactics in the game. So that might have got you a bit offside, and I think what's got our man Ducks offside is they've mentioned Lockett, they've mentioned Dunstall, they've mentioned Favola. I don't see the word Carey.
No, because he clearly knew that I could adapt to all eras.
He's well rested.
Well, I think now we've drilled down, Jay-Z, we might have found why the boys aren't that happy with the article. Paul Roos's 2005 flooding tactics ruined the game. No, he didn't say that. I just made that bit up.
Gave it off to Simpson on his left side. Runs a bit of an arc. Simo, look at this. Straight through the guts.
Win by the Blues last night, defeating the Suns by 10 points up at Metricon Stadium. If you're not a Blues member and you're a supporter, you should be, because they're having a very nice year. Be bound by blue and sign up as a member in 2017. Visit carltonfc.com.au to purchase your membership today. Couldn't be more happy to get our next guest on, a victorious Blue. Kate Simpson joins us on the line. G'day, Simo.
Hey, boys.
Hey, congratulations to you and your footy club last night. You got out to an early lead. They took the front position. And then after that injury to Barlow, you boys had a little bit of time to think about it, and you kicked the last three goals of the game. Wonderful win for your footy club. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It was great to get the 4 points. We probably made a bit more hard work than what it needed to be. We sort of dominated a lot of the first half and then had a pretty poor third quarter, which really opened the door for them, and they took full advantage.
Well, the biggest thing, Cage, is watching you play now, and obviously you're going to have some ups and downs because you're still a relatively young team, but you really look confident in your game style. Every time I've watched you play, and I've seen you a bit this year, you've got a significant brand, and I love what you guys are trying to do, and you look really, really confident in what Brendan Bolton's trying to teach you guys.
Yeah, well, he's put in an enormous amount of work in the 18 months that he's had the job for, and the boys have, as you said, really bought in. There's a lot of work behind the scenes that we're putting in, and it's great to see we're getting some reward for it.
Kate, have you seen a better, more complete game than Bryce Gibbs put in yesterday?
No, I don't think so. It was unbelievable. Everywhere I looked, he just popped up, and then I think to polish off with the two goals in the last quarter just to, I think, give us back the lead and then one to seal it. It's pretty incredible effort, and he deserved it.
I don't know whether you can answer this question honestly, Kay, but I'll ask it anyway. So who does Brendan dictate where you and Sam play? I notice a little bit of midfield, back. Or do you guys sort of decide that yourselves, who's going to be that general down back and almost like that goalkeeper when he goes to half back?
No, it's pretty much decided sort of before the game. Like, if one of us going to have more of a hit in the midfield. But then it's sort of dictated to how the game's going, really, if we need extra support back or if there's injuries. And then we're pretty flexible down there, so sort of just, it just works out. Whoever's sort of the deepest will be that player. There's no real system behind it. It's just if we've rolled back and Sam's there, then he'll maintain that position and I'll just pick up a man. So we just had pretty good synergy back there, I think. That's probably sort of developed since Brendan took over.
Hey, Cade, tell us a little bit about the rebirth of Liam Jones. It's been quite incredible the last couple of weeks. Having not watched any of your reserves or the VFL, has he been playing in defence in the seconds?
Yeah, so we started the year in the forward line, and we've got quite a few young, tall forwards. So he really sort of, I think, just for a bit of opportunity, got thrown down back, and ever since he went back there, he was just dominating down in the VFL. So pretty much what he's doing in the AFL now, he was doing that in the VFL, but probably another tenfold. It was honestly like a man playing amongst boys down in the VFL. So he's really deserved his opportunity, and it's great to see him really take it with both hands. And he's taken two big scalps the last 2 weeks.
Matty Cruiser, mate, I mean, you've seen a lot of him, obviously, since he came to the footy club and came as a number one draft pick, had a lot of injuries across the journey. I've certainly been a big fan, and when he gets a good run at it, he's always been a really good player. But is this the best patch of form you think he's been in throughout his career?
Yeah, most definitely. He's just so consistent now, and as you said, he's had a lot of injuries, but now his body's good. He had a full pre-season. I think he sort of found out what works and what he needs to do to maintain his body. And just his follow-up work around the ground and gets so many clearances and just surges the ball forward and runs onto it and sort of bullocking work. He's like another midfielder, and he's having an amazing year.
We are speaking to Blues star Cade Simpson on the Sunday Rub.
Cade, I want to take Paddy Cripps out of this equation because he's on the way to being a star. Of the next batch of young kids coming through, which is the young man that's impressed you most and why?
This year's draftees, I think Samo Petrescu-Seaton's he's already a star, but his composure with the ball, it just looks like he's got so much time out there. It's sort of like Scott Pendlebury where the game sort of slows down around him. So he, just the more games he gets under his belt and another pre-season and that, he's going to be a genuine superstar.
Okay, what about the treatment of Gary Ablett last night? He got off to a hot start, Gaz, but then it seemed like Carlton really clamped down on him and physically, you know, buffeted him at every opportunity. I'm not sure if that's a direction from the coaching staff, but what's your view on sort of coming up against Gaz and applying that physical pressure at every opportunity?
Yeah, well, he's a superstar, and he has been for over a decade now. So I think Ed Curnow did a super job. And he's one of the most competitive people you'll ever meet. He's like an energizer bunny around the club. He just doesn't stop. So I think that's the way Ed's got to play. And against a guy like Gary, if you're not at him 100% of the time, he's going to tear you apart. So I think Ed was super to Crowley's influence, and then obviously if he did get out on Ed, there was other players there to try and pick him up.
What's on for the rest of the day, Simo?
Oh, I reckon a bit of couch time. So we got back to Melbourne about 11:30, so I just walked up the street now to grab a coffee, and then I reckon I'll hit the couch, maybe watch a bit of the D's and the Bulldogs.
Maybe a bit of Netflix and chill, hey?
Maybe.
Your latte, man? Cappuccino? Soy? Skim?
Strong, skinny latte.
All right, Simo, we appreciate your time. Enjoy your afternoon, whatever you get up to.
Cheers, guys. Thanks for having me.
Nice to speak to you, Cade Simpson. One of the clubs is doing a promotion, and I should know whoever's home game it is. So it must be a Bulldogs promotion. They're showing a movie, which is why it's dark in here at Etihad Stadium. So they're trying to get the youngsters in dark, and you get to watch a movie before the game of footy.
It's like going to the drive-in.
Now, Roosie, now you're showing your age. You used to roll down to the drive-in. Where did you
go? The drive-in, the Croydon drive-in.
Was it?
Yeah, massive.
Where have the drive-ins gone?
I don't
gone?
Know where they've all gone.
There's one on the way down to Portsea. I know that.
Right. On the right-hand side.
On Germana, that one. Yeah. What did you used to roll down in? What type of vehicle?
The first car was the HR Holden.
Ooh.
The second car was the Holden Commodore.
Right.
I tell you what I want to know, though, Duck, because when I used to go to the movies, the old Sandman, the old panel van.
Yeah.
The bloke that rocked up and backed up the other way.
That's it.
And
that's
they
it.
Used to lie down, open the and had the telly in there, the bed. Yep. Where are all the panel vans
just
gone?
Take the, in the summer, take the ute. Just the mattress in the back.
The old Sandman with the sign on it. Don't laugh. Your daughter might be in here. I like those ones, Roosie.
How many times you actually watched the movie, Duck?
Yeah, good question.
Did you ever take Tammy to the drive-ins, Roosie?
I think we did go to the Croydon movies once with Steve-O and one of the Tammy with Stevens.
One of our first ever dates.
Yes.
So she was 17, I was 20.
Yep.
And I remember we're sitting there and we're discussing where we're going to go to the movies or the drive-in because Wagga Wagga's got a drive-in. And I'm sitting there thinking, drive-in, drive-in. And I remember her saying to her dad at the time, her mum and dad, oh, we're thinking about going. I said, don't tell them we're going to the drive-in. Tell them we're going to the movies. That was one of our first dates.
What about the big speaker you used to pull into the car?
Yeah.
You imagine showing the kids now. You imagine showing your kids the speaker. This massive big metal thing that you
sits on your
hook
window.
Onto the window and wind your window back up.
Jay-Z, we got a lot of news to get through, but just before we get to the M Sport update, since we're talking about the Blues Gold Coast game, I was watching last night, and full credit to the host broadcast, it would have been Network 7 last night. They showed a couple of replays of the Michael Bardo incident and then chose not to show any more, which I thought was really classy broadcasting. It didn't look good for the man that's broken his leg previously. What's the update?
No, it was horrific. It's the same leg, his left leg. He's broken it again. He's already had surgery this morning, Howie. But there is some good news here. He's not expected to play again this season, but Suns football manager Marcus Ashcroft has already indicated that they want him at the club next season. So they're very hopeful of Michael Bardo playing some more good footy for the club. It will be a big hill to climb, clearly, given he's already been through one broken leg. He's one of everyone's favourites. He's such a great bloke, Mickey Bardo, but you can definitely put a line through him for the rest of this season at least.
All right, nicely done, Jay-Z. Up next, the back-to-school quiz, and then a couple of coaches from today's game, Jade Rawlings and Daniel Gian Siracusa. We start at 20 past two, the big game between the Western Bulldogs and the Melbourne Footy Club. For McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy. Here's Desiree Savage with another M Sport update for the Master Builders Association of Victoria. D.
Thanks, guys. Game over for Gold Coast recruitment.
The Sunday Rubs.
Oh, back to school.
Back to school quiz.
Oh, yes, it's quiz time. Swatter on 3 wins. Duck on 3 wins. Jay-Z on 3 wins. Roosie, who gets a bit testy during the back-to-school quiz, it must be said, languishing on 2 wins, Roosie. And I know your family place a lot of...
The worst 10 minutes of my week, this is.
And you go home and you tell the boys you haven't won.
No, I just get destroyed when I get home.
Buzzers, Swatter.
You don't understand how hard it is.
JJ.
Duck, duck.
Ruse.
Righto, here we go. And a couple of tough ones in here today. Maths, nearest the pin. Everyone gets a go. How many games has Easton Wood played?
Duck, duck.
Yes.
Easton Wood has played 142.
142. Schwatter?
127.
Jay-Z?
160.
160.
Roosie? Oh, wow. 133.
He's played 118. Schwatter takes the early lead with a nice little start. This, I'll be surprised if anyone gets. History. The top two draft picks from the 2002 National Draft are still playing, both at different clubs.
JJ.
Can you name them?
Daniel Wells, Brennan Goddard.
Ooh, Jay-Z's been studying.
You've been drunk? You drunk again?
I'm back, Schwatter.
He's had a bit of a strut around him. Another tough
one. He's now getting out of his chair.
Sit down.
He's now starting to intimidate us.
Yep.
Geography, in the NEAFL, is that what they call it, the NEAFL?
Yep. NEAFL.
NEAFL. In the NEAFL, which team is known as the Demons?
Ooh. Ruse?
Yes.
Redlands?
No.
JJ?
Yes.
Aspley?
No. Any guessing from Schwatter or Duck?
Duck, duck, duck.
Yes.
Who cares?
Okay. Schwatter?
I've got no idea.
It is Canberra. The Canberra Demons.
Wow.
Okay. We go back to the last year's grand final. Guess this player.
He goes long to the attacking back.
Yes, JJ.
Pickin.
Yes. It is. Play it in entirety, please.
That's very good. Good get.
Play
he goes long to the attacking back. Pickin! Pickin with a big mark over the top.
Played a big grand final in Pickin. Jay-Z 2, Schwatter 1, Duck and Roosie yet to get on the board. English. How many letters in Gian Siracusa?
Swatter.
Schwatter.
13.
Incorrect.
Ruse.
Rusey.
11.
Incorrect.
Duck. 10.
Incorrect.
JJ.
Yes.
12.
Yeah.
Stephen Bradbury.
Jay-Z goes to 3. Shorter one.
Everyone falls over and here comes Tubby J.
Oh, he's training hard.
Once a week.
Okay. During the week, who said this?
Sometimes when I'm looking at vision and I'm doing coaching, I'm enjoying
Sam
that
Mitchell.
More than playing.
Yes. Swatter 2. Jay-Z 2. Just test your buzzer there, Ruzy.
Ruzy.
Yeah, it is working. Ruzy and Ducky yet to score. So, Swatter, you need a point to equal Jay-Z to go to extra time playoff.
I'm on 3, by the way, Howie.
Yes, you are. And Swatter's on 2. So, if he gets a point, he's on 3 as well. Leave the Tony Barber stuff to me.
Jay.
You're just a contestant, pal.
I've never seen this arrogance.
Who am I?
Well, these are my special.
Come on.
I was born on July 12, 1976. I played exactly 200 games, kicking 94 goals. I made grand final appearances in 2000 and 2003, but lost both. In 2000, I played for Melbourne. In 2003, I was playing for Collingwood.
JJ.
Yes.
Shane Woboden.
Yes. Oh, Jay-Z takes it out.
That's,
comprehensive.
Hold on.
Comprehensive.
He was arrogant, but he did deserve. He backed it up. I must
comprehensive. I tell you, one question off the back end of this. Which team has lost 4 games by under 10 points this season?
Tikes.
Round 7.
Can he be clean? Got it to Cochin. They jump on him. They shut it down. Oh, and the siren sounds. The reigning premiers with the last gasp. Over a gallant Richmond.
Round 8.
He starts his approach. There's 8 Richmond players on the mark. He shoots towards goal. He fires. He has kicked the goal. He has kicked the goal. Fremantle have won the game.
Round 9.
And Curvis is at a power of work. Cameron Mumford. Cameron runs to 48. Has a shot. Kick on the way.
He's kicked it.
Cameron's nailed the goal in the last minute of the game. The Tigers' 3-point lead goes to a 3-point deficit. It hasn't happened again, has it, for the third week in a row?
Yesterday.
A little bit of candy sold. Outside of the boot, Kieran Jack.
Spilled the Rowan out of bubble. Picked it up, snap it, goal, got it. Sydney are going to win. Rowan kicks the goal.
There it is. Look at the Swans. They have come from nowhere.
Well, there's been some tough moments for Richmond fans. Should have told you to just turn your radio down for that particular moment. 4 close losses, Jay-Z. Another one yesterday. They started the game brilliantly against the Swans, and then the Swans, as they do, just ground themselves back into the contest.
Yeah, doing a lot of things right, the Tigers. And again, yesterday they had some opportunities inside forward 50, probably really to bury the Swans. Toby Nankervis's set shot, maybe from 25 metres out, Ruzy hit the post. It's opportunities like that which really cost them. But as we've seen in the last quarter, all throughout the season, they have really let themselves down. And Damien Hardwick in the press conference after the match, well, he was pretty positive, as he has been all year.
I think that's what our side has to get used to. We're very competitive. We'll keep the games close. We're not going to win games by 10 goals. We're not going to lose games, hopefully, by 10 goals either. It's always going to be an arm wrestle. You know, you look at the case in point, the Bulldogs last year, we're probably similar in nature. You know, we're probably undersized up forward, so we compete really hard, and that's what's going to win us games, and it's what's going to keep us close in games as well. And sometimes you're going to go, you're going to keep your head above water, and sometimes you're going to go under.
Look, I think what he said is right. I mean, they do have some weaknesses. So I love Richmond. They've got a really good brand of play, but their strength can also be their weaknesses. First half, Jack Rewald's busting his backside to get to as many big contests, bringing the ball to ground, bringing the small players into the game. Nankervis was terrific. Missed 2 critical goals. The flip side to that is in the end, Jack just gets a bit tired. It's very hard for him to get to multiple contests. It's very hard for one ruckman with Sean Grigg as your second ruckman. You know, so all of a sudden, you just get worn down. I think Dim was right. I mean, I love their small forwards, and they're one of the biggest reasons they've competed in every single game. But I reckon they're one forward short, and not many teams can go with a ruckman in Nankervis and then a Grigg consistently as a ruckman. So they do have some weaknesses, but I must admit, I'm really positive about the Tigers and their season so far.
Yeah, so am I. I love the brand of footy they're playing. I think even the 3 years in a row where they made finals but didn't win one, that brand of footy, they have changed the whole way that they go about it. And I thought the reason why They actually invariably lost that game yesterday. They just stopped being as brave as they were earlier in the game. They really took the game on, Roosie, played on. And I just thought at times yesterday they sort of
went into their shell
just a little. And I thought that's when Sydney got back into the game, and then they just lost that ability to take the game on as much as they were earlier in
and
the
I
game.
And I reckon you're right, Duck. And I think on the back of a couple of poor decisions they made, Grigg turnover, really poor Lloyd handball on the far wing when he rocketed a handball back. But what also happened, the play on after halftime, Sydney you could see were moving the ball. They tried to get it the first half, they were 27% play on, 46%. Mm. So it just changed the game a fair bit.
Yeah, more speed.
Well, they just put more speed on the game, and it was a lot harder for Richmond to get settled defensively, for their mids to spread. And the other thing that invariably happens, when you're 36 points up, you've clearly expended a lot more energy than the other team. And we are seeing huge swings in games now, aren't we, really? I mean, 5-6 goals is nothing in the game at the moment because the way teams can score. Contested ball is huge. I mean, they were plus 15 Richmond at halftime, and I think Sydney were plus 17 in the second quarter. So it's never been more important to win the ball at the source, win the territory battle. But look, I mean, it's hard. Yeah, the Richmond fans, but I agree with Duck. Their brand of footy is improved significantly on their last 3 or 4 years, and they're really, really hard to beat. I mean, let's be honest. We're only looking at Sydney differently now because they started at 0-6, but they're the team that played in the grand final last year. They're a team that can win anywhere. They're a fantastic team, and they ran them the grand final, two grand finals to last year, the team that everyone tips to win the premiership, the Giants. So the games that they've lost close games to are arguably, forgetting the Swans' position on the ladder and the Bulldogs, are arguably the three best teams in the competition based on last year and where they finished grand final, preliminary finals.
No changes to either side in this game starting at 3:20. The Bulldogs taking on the Demons. Whenever we talk about Richmond, Dusty, are we expecting an answer anytime soon? Is it end of the season? What's happening, Josie?
Well, it was interesting. Richmond CEO Brendan Gale yesterday said it's getting to the stage where they want an indication one way or another whether Dusty will stay or go. Now, that is very interesting because now what if Dusty, as we expect, says, well, I'm going to wait for until the end of the year. That's going to make the Richmond top brass pretty twitchy, I think. Now, they're still very confident that Dustin Martin will stay, but I think they're going to have to pay the man, and that's going to be in excess of $1 million because a club like North Melbourne, who might miss out on Josh Kelly and St Kilda too, are sort of still snapping at his heels, because certainly I think the expectation and feeling at the moment is that Josh Kelly will stay at GWS. So that puts Dustin Martin very much more open on the marketplace.
You'd pay $1 million for him, but that's I don't think there's too many players you'd pay more than $1 million to, full stop. I just think you take up too much. You really hamstring yourself, Schwatter. And we've seen a little bit of it with Sydney, and we've spoken about that a lot. And you look at a guy like Kurt Tippett, so many things can happen. And you're paying a guy so much money. And I think Dusty's worth $1 million, by the way. And I've said all along that, you know, get $1 million, get 1.2 or whatever. But all of these massive figures that are being thrown around, I think is too much for any one individual at a footy club. And the successful clubs over the last 5 years haven't had that $1 million player. You look at Geelong, you look at Hawthorn, none of those clubs have that.
And I reckon that's the key to it, Duck. Bulldogs were a bit of an anomaly because they were so young. And you mentioned the Swans before. Now, they're not far off it because they played in the grand final. But the most recent teams, all their players have sacrificed money to stay together. You know, Hawthorn and Geelong are the two that really come to mind, which you touched on. So that's probably the decision. There's the market value, which is probably, you know, what a player's worth. Then there's the inflated value about what another club has to pay them to get them out of that football club.
Well, Paddy Dangerfield's the perfect example. I mean, I know he wanted to go home, so there was that big pull for him to go home. But if anyone's worth 1.5, that's Paddy Dangerfield.
Did you think you were worth $1 million when you were pulling it out of the Kangaroos, Doug?
Absolutely.
A smaller salary cap too, JC, in those particular times. For Coates High, this is the Triple M Footy Preview. Was he worth it, Schwatter?
What's up next?
Can't leave the site. Coates High delivers. Down on the boundary for the first time, we're welcoming this afternoon with a very special guest, Mickey Roberts. Hello, Robbo.
I tell you what, really weird down here because the roof's shut. It's black and all the kids in the stadium are actually watching a movie, animated style, so they're warming up in the dark. But no changes for Melbourne, big fella, and you go in unchanged as well. That's a good sign. That's a great statement from the coach.
Yeah, we were pretty mindful this week of not bringing in players who were sore with only 6 days since we played on Monday, and all the players we had concerns about trained fine on Friday, so we're going unchanged.
Well, Jade Rollings, we're talking to you. Thanks for joining us on Triple M. But MCG, big crowd, big stage, Queen's birthday, came from behind, big win. Great for the football club. Jack Watts, love to see him back that up again. He took it on himself to kick that steadying goal. Great for his confidence.
Yeah, it was. He first half probably wasn't having much of an impact for us, and he actually hurt his back, and we weren't sure if we were going to get him back into the game. And then there was a contest on our half-back line where he was really desperate, and then ran a really long 45 pattern and marked it in our forward 50, and that got him going. And then to have that composure to kick the goal late was pretty important. But yeah, the key is obviously be able to repeat it and back it up against a pretty fierce Bulldogs side today.
Yeah, Twig, how much, I think you got 3 or 4 six-day breaks in a row. How much did that play a part in maybe Maxi Gawn not getting up today and obviously going to Western Australia next Saturday?
It was a consideration, Roosie, but a lot of it was to do with his actual conditioning. He's probably, if he had played today, I think it was 3 weeks ahead of the original scheduled return. A lot of the details were considered in relation to his training loads, GPS, all that sort of stuff, and it just got to the point where could he replicate what we need from him in 6 day breaks and a Perth trip, but it actually came down to he hasn't done enough actual conditioning, so you would think that he'd be in the frame for next week.
Yeah, mate, we had a really good discussion just before around defences now and how different they are compared to, you know, 20 years ago, etc., etc. Yeah, and you know I'm a massive fan of Neville Jetta, but you've seen his evolution, I guess, from that guy that was just hanging onto a list and you know, perhaps being delisted, got re-rookied, and just how important he is to that back six and how good he is able to play that zoning style but also beat his opponent one-on-one.
Yeah, spot on, Rizzy, and you've seen it as much as I have with Neville. He was used to get into the team and just lock down and probably felt as though that's all he needed to do, and he's really evolved over the last probably 40 or 50 games, and he was under the pump to be in our best team at the start of this season. He missed a few weeks in the preseason and others were starting to take their opportunity, but he got in at round one and has probably been one of our most consistent players. And last week he had 10 possessions, but it felt like it was a 25-possession game just because of his impact with critical contests, his tackling, his aggression in the air. He's become a really, really, really good player for us.
Jade, I don't think Melbourne has kicked consecutive goals in the first quarter all season. Now, what chance Simon Goodwin has made the start?
That's a good stat, Jay-Z.
Thanks, Duck. What chance Simon Goodwin has made the start? Because you always do seem to be trailing in games. Must be a focus today to try and jump the Bulldogs out of the blocks.
I reckon every club in Australia, Jay, wants to get off to a good start, and we fail to do it most weeks. It's probably our biggest bugbear that we have to get, certainly this year, 4 to 5 goals behind before we really kick into gear. And a lot of those goals are pretty soft as well. So it's been a real frustration for us, especially as a defensive coach. I can tell you that you haven't even got your backside warm in the chair and you've already coughed up one or two. So, yeah, especially against the Bulldogs who can get on a real run early. So it's clearly a focus for us.
Hey, Twig, loved the game of Christian Petrarca on Queen's birthday against the Pies. I thought he was huge. Where do you see him playing predominantly most of his footy as he gets towards the middle part of his career, which is obviously still a couple of years away? Is he more mid and forward or forward mid?
Yeah, he's a really interesting player, Schwatto. No doubt centre forward what suits him the most. He's a very creative player and his marking's exceptional. His tank allows him to play in the midfield a bit longer this year than probably what he did last year. I think he'll be that Robbie Gray type at full fitness where they can go inside and have real damage and impact and then just go and play deep forward and have even more impact on the scoreboard. So I think over another year or two of summer training, he'll be probably a 50-50 split.
Jade, we've seen just something very interesting on Instagram, Bob Up. I'm not sure if it was Thomas Bugs or Jack Watts' Instagram, but the pair have posted a photo of themselves, I think it was Bugs, with a message to Jason Johannesson, and I think tagged him in it, and it says, are you ready, Jason Johannesson? That's a clear warning that clearly Tommy Bug is going to tag him, just like the Sydney boys did last week and gave him a hard time. Is that it's a pretty pointed statement, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to deny it. I just found out about it before I come on here, and it's certainly different to how I behave, Jay. I can tell you that. I'm not sure there's a relationship between the guys. They know each other, but I just want to be clear that the respect we have for the Western Bulldogs and Jason Johannesson is very strong. And like I said, I don't condone that sort of stuff, sending out, especially on game day, but I'm very different to these young men as well. So, yeah, nothing I would think malicious intent in it at all.
Rollo Howe here, but from a coaching point of view, I wouldn't imagine the coaches would be that stoked if he's leaking game plan. It could be a bit of ducks and drakes, but I wouldn't have thought the coaching panel would be that happy with that.
Yeah, it's not so much game plan at all. Like, anyone in Australia would know what the Sydney Swans did to Jason last week, and they would probably say it had an impact on the game. But whether what was done last week, what's been sent out today, irrespective of that, we would have a high level of attention towards Johannesson because of the quality of player. So you won't see us following him around everywhere, wherever he plays today, but we've got a good awareness of where he'll be and the impact he can have on a game.
It'll be very interesting. Hey, did you spend the week with John Buchanan, the former Australian cricket coach, Jaden? What, if any, this part of the Level 4 coaching program? What did you learn from him?
Yeah, well, I've been lucky enough to have John as my mentor in the course I've been doing over the last 18 months, and he's been fantastic. He's a really good man. He doesn't understand footy at all, and it's been interesting about to discuss just coaching and life and philosophy with him, and yeah, he got an insight as to how we prepare for a game going to Collingwood and also review it. So he and I got another catch-up soon to go through all the things that he saw and I should benefit, and obviously the club as well with his experience. But he's a really good man, John.
A lot of people won't realise, Jade, I'm sure John doesn't, that this man with ball in hand in network cricket out the back of Toorak Way, you were one of the quickest bowlers ever seen with a taped-up tennis ball roller.
It was one of the great things I used to be involved with, Howie. Craig Hutchison was the founder of it, and we had a pretty good team. We had pickers. Hutchie, amazing, wasn't too bad a player. Big John Longmire was in there, and Aaron Lord, our first team, but...
Horse wasn't very good at cricket.
Well, no, they were...
I just had to throw his name in there.
He might have been the 12th man, though.
Rollo, Hutchie had an amazing ability to manufacture the rules to suit the team at any particular time.
He's one of the great manipulators of all time. He was very antagonistic as well. We actually played a semi-final once. We were known as the Argos, because that's where Big Horse used to go and drink his beer. We were known as the Argos. In a semi-final, he got some hats made up for us. So let's get ready to jive, premiership number 5. It didn't go down well.
That was in the semi-final. I remember it clearly. Rollo, we appreciate your time. Best of luck for you and the Demons today.
Thanks, fellas.
They're frighteningly quick with ball in hand, Jade Rawlings was. Frighteningly quick. Now, Roosie, you're getting ready for your pre-game, and your media manager comes over and says, this time last year, now, Roosie, Tommy Bug and Watsy have sent out a nice little photo baiting Jason Johannesson. We're going to spin this in the media, and we're going to say, oh, it doesn't affect us. But how's the coach feeling at that particular time?
Oh, look, I don't think it affects the game. But I
how's that coach feeling, Roosie?
Not good. No. I mean, it's not
now we're getting the gist of it.
It's not something you want to wake up to. But I think what Twig said is right. I mean, I don't understand necessarily the social media. I don't understand how the interaction works because we lived in a different era. Now, whether it is a relationship between Buggy and Johannesson, I don't know that there's any history. It's just a different era that we're living in.
Would you pull the players up?
Again, I'd need to some context around it. So I'd probably go to... But you've got to be careful before a game. I remember something, and I won't say what it was, something happened before the 06 grand final, and you just can't say anything at that stage because you don't want it to become more of an issue than what it already is, and you guys have played in them. So that's the fine line when you're coaching. Because what you don't want to do is create an issue. Obviously, Watsy and Buggy, you'll be aware of it. If the other players aren't aware of it, you don't want to make them aware of it. You don't want to create an issue that's not an issue. So that's the fine line, and that's the balance, particularly on game day. During the week, you can address whatever you want to because it's calm. You know, you can get blokes in, you can talk to them, you can, you know, it might take your whole day to get to the bottom of it. But before the game, I mean, everyone's got their own routines in place. Everyone wants to do their own little thing. So you've got to be really careful.
Clarkey, the AFL world, and I'll speak from the outsider's point of view now, is so afraid of bringing attention to their football club or to individual performance. Clubs spend their entire week trying to douse it down, trying to stop you guys doing individual articles. We're a team game. We don't like the spotlight on one player. Personally, seeing that before a game, I love it because now I want to watch what happens in the game. We saw Jack Watts do a live Facebook from the rooms afterwards last week for Melbourne. Whether he got club approval, I don't know. I thought it was absolutely brilliant. This will be criticised in the next 2 or 3 days, no matter the end result of this club. We're bringing it up now. I wish it wasn't criticised because I think it brings an extra edge to a game of footy, but it brings the focus onto one or two players, which the modern footy club, for some reason, absolutely detests in Australia.
I'm with you, Howie. I like the flair and personality, but now it's clearly just on these guys to back that up. They can't now go absent or missing in action.
Can I just say, you don't know whether they're mates, you don't know any of that.
No, but that's my point, Doug. It'll be blown up and brought up and discussed in a negative response so many times because of... this competition's view that you can't individualise.
Not by Roosie and I, it won't.
I think that's the case, Harry. We know. I think Jade handled it really well because we know this is a different era. I got kids that are 21 and 23 years of age. And I think what Jade said was critical. And what I'm saying, I know, and I won't put words in anyone else's mouth, I wouldn't do that. Because I didn't live in an Instagram era. I didn't live in that era. I would not do that. Would I have maybe texted a mate on the way to the game when mobile phones come out and said, you know, I'm going to bloody...
kick 10 on you?
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, maybe.
Yep.
You know, so what I'm saying is we're probably not that well qualified to necessarily talk about it. I think overall what we do like about... And I want to... I never like to say in Australia or whatever, but I mean... In Australia, we do like guys that are humble. That and that's a bit about what you're saying, Howie. Yeah. That is just our culture.
It is.
We like guys that are humble. Paddy Raft, you know, I can go through them, etc. I think it's more a cultural thing rather than, you know, the players or the coaches or the clubs or anything like that. And I don't think that's a bad thing in terms of the culture.
Whereas me, Roosie, I like showtime. Yeah. I want to see blokes talking themselves up. That's why we watch the American sports.
Yep.
Because LeBron will come out there and say, I'm going to do this. They go out there and say it. If they back it up, they back it up. If they don't, they take it on the chin.
I'll say this, though. And my wife's American, so I can say this well qualified. Mm. The number of times watching the NBA finals when I heard, and I love that Mark Jackson and Jeff Van
Brilliant.
Talked about LeBron being the best player in the world. How do they know? Okay, speak for America. He's the best player in America. So that's the extension of, and he probably is. I'm not saying that's not true, but you've got an American competition.
Well, they play the World Series.
The Super Bowl, the World Series of baseball, the World Champion Super Bowl, where no one from outside, there's some Canadian teams.
They just claim it.
But I might actually enter a team in the NBA so they can actually, I'm going to get Gazy and... The horse is no good.
He's no good at basketball.
But you follow what I'm saying? So I think there's extremes in both of them. I just got sick to death of us telling LeBron is the best player in the world.
My favourite sporting quote by an Australian of all time was after, I reckon, he won his second British Open. Greg Norman came off the course and they asked him how he played. And he said, I quote, I was in awe of myself today. I love it. Schwatter.
Yeah, that's okay. I don't mind. I think there is definitely the tall poppy syndrome in Australia where we do love to kick elite athletes or high achievers. In America, absolutely doesn't exist. So this, all I'm saying, there's positives and negatives of everything. It's trying to find the balance.
A guy that stands out, I think, probably the most about his footy. I reckon Jason Akermanis was one that sort of spoke a lot about about his footy. There is a story where he was sitting in a team meeting with Lee Matthews, and Lee Matthews said to him that he wasn't getting enough. You've heard this one, really, where he wasn't getting enough contested footy. He goes, that's because I turn a contested footy into an uncontested ball because I'm so quick.
I turn hard ball gets into loose ball gets.
Yes,
when Buddy kicked 13 against the Kangaroos in Tasmania when he was playing for the Hawks, how many years ago? Post-game, go back and have a look at the interview. Couldn't have done out with the boys' structures and processes. I was lucky.
They used
got
me
it
really well.
Come on. I was on fire today. Yeah. Unstoppable. A little bit more news while we're waiting for Gia, Jay-Z, the MRP. Yeah, busy day tomorrow. Being held over from last Thursday night, it seems forever ago that the Cats played.
Yeah, I thought the MRP wanted to address that stuff on a Friday now, to be honest. So I'm surprised it's still sort of lingering. Let's start with Lance Franklin. We saw him give a heavy hip and shoulder to Menadue of Richmond yesterday. But on review, on replay, it's clearly to his side and his shoulder. So while it's been made a big issue, I'm expecting Lance Franklin to get off that. In fact, the report might even be thrown out tomorrow. Going back to Thursday, the Joel Selwood one, he lands on the back of Sam Mitchell's head. I think he's going to get off here also. Maybe just a fine because, I mean, if I was Joel Selwood, I would strongly argue that I just had my hand out to brace for my landing. Mm-hmm. And then he lands on his back and then slides up probably over Sam Mitchell's head. Did he know what he was doing? Well, maybe yes. But I think just a fine there for Joel Selwood. Luke Shuey's the one who's probably in trouble because he does make contact with a heavy hip and shoulder to Patrick Dangerfield. And the rules show if you make contact to the head, you are in trouble. So I think that'll be intentional, low force, and a 1 week. Dale Thomas from last night as well. I think he will be okay. He clicks Adam Saad a little bit high, but it is really just a bit of a head clash when you look at it. They are over the ball, and I think Dale Thomas will be okay. Saad comes back onto the ground. And Mickey Barlow, as we mentioned before, Gold Coast are very optimistic that he'll play footy for them next season, despite fracturing his leg last night. And that'll probably be season ending, Howie.
Lindsay Thomas back in the VFL yesterday after a long spell. Apparently he was caught up in an incident maybe with old Chicken Palmer, Reece Palmer.
Yeah, not ideal. He sort of jabs him in the throat. It's a bit of a
Doesn't sound ideal.
No, and Reece Palmer sort of goes back on the ground and a remonstration ensues. So I think Lindsay Thomas might be in a bit of trouble for this one again. And really there's a question mark on whether he'll be at North Melbourne next year after yet another sort of undisciplined incident. So he might be set for another stint on the sidelines.
Same game yesterday. Andrew Swallow apparently showed some pretty good form. Where's he at with the Kangaroos?
Well, he had 28 possessions, but it's just an issue of balance for them because they've already got Zeeble and Cunnington and Dumont, who's another insider, Howie. Where North Melbourne struggle is that outside run and that polish and that skill, and that's why they're trying to give $12 million in the back of a truck to get Josh Kelly, who we think is going to stay. So, look, I think Andrew Swallow might still be in and out of the team in the second half of the season, but they've already got three hardheads in there. How, if anything, they need some outside run. Another injury, the Cats on Thursday night, and this could be costly because they play Port Adelaide, MCG on Saturday. Scott Selwood, a man who's been very important to their midfield set up over the past month, a hamstring, should be out for 3 or 4 weeks there. And Nakia Cockatoo, someone who gives them a lot of pace, he's again fallen victim to a hamstring niggle. They think that could be more back related or even neural, so maybe a little tweak there and he might be out for another one or two. Howie,
magnificent rap, Jay-Z. I tell you what, Robbo, he likes getting down on the boundary and he's always used to duck whoever he's interviewing. He's always the better looking of the combination, but he gets flat when he has to speak to this man, the Richard Gere lookalike, Daniel Jones, Syracuse. You're a bit flat now, aren't you, Robbo?
Nah, still got him covered. During the week,
I'm flustered now, Robert.
No, I'm not.
He's even flustered
I'm not.
Now.
No, I'm
Look,
not.
Look, I told you he doesn't like it, Jay-Z. He's off his game.
Shut up, Howie. Couple of ex-coaches, couple of scribes have actually had a bad day at work and come home and kicked the dog during the week because mentioned the premiership hangover. Surely, gee, there's nothing there in the club about that.
Well, I don't think so. Internally, all we can do is worry about ourselves and the way the boys came back in terms of pre-season and stuff like that. They seemed as motivated as ever to get back on the horse. We haven't won as many games as what we would have liked, but in patches, we've played probably better footy than last year throughout the home and away. So we just haven't been consistent enough, and the competition's extremely even. And if you're not consistent for four quarters, there's a chance you get rolled. So we're looking for a really consistent four-quarter effort against a team that we really rate today.
No change at Melbourne. 5 changes at the Dogs, and one of them, Tom Liberatore, a month out of the big system, 3 weeks and a bye, I think it was, but really good second half just to earn his recall. Great news for him.
Yeah, he was fantastic, especially in that second half. We thought he was okay even in the first half, even though he wasn't getting his hands on the ball as such. But his teammates love playing with him. He's got a nasty side to him, and hopefully he can bring that out today, especially around the ball, and then spread as hard as what we need him to.
Hey, Gio, we can obviously only have an opinion from afar. Tell us inside the four walls, because from afar, for me, it just looks like you just haven't found your right balance or you're trying to settle the team. Would that be right?
Yeah, I think that's a fair call, Duck. Footy's changed a bit this year. You look at the teams that have really improved, and I'm probably looking at, you know, Richmond and Essendon especially. They're really quick in their forward half and they play with smaller pressure type forwards. Whether that's the right mix for every team, I'm not sure, but if you look at our side today, it's probably the quickest side we've put on the park, and we just want to come with a real appetite to get in the face of Melbourne and pressure the hell out of them, to be honest.
Yeah, gee, I mean, the competition is very, very even. I don't even know what a premiership hangover is. Maybe Jay-Z can fill us in from a media point of view, but I think it's a bit disrespectful to you guys and also to the competition, because it is such an even competition. I just thought last week, it probably the poorest you'd look from contest to contest. I mean, you've been such a great side at getting numbers to the ball. I thought your defensive spread and your ability to get to the contest last week was as poor as I'd seen it.
Yeah, fair call. They were exceptional. Sydney, obviously, they came at us at the first bounce, and we probably weren't ready for that. But that can happen, and it probably happened today, to be honest. But if you don't, you know, as you said, spread from contest to contest or get the contest right first and foremost, any team in the competition, especially the way it is now, is going to make you look pretty silly. So we've worked on that. It's been a long build-up to this game. It's about a 9 or 10-day break. So we've had a really good week on the track. We've worked on those areas, and hopefully that comes to fruition today against the D's.
And Gia, Sydney obviously identified the importance and influence of Jason Johannesson last week. Did you address that during the course of the week? What could you do to support him, and was it necessary to address it?
Yeah, it was necessary. We want to support JJ as much as possible, as a, not only as a playing group, but as a coaching group. So we addressed that. The boys will be ready today. But again, as I said to Roosie before, if we're not up for that contest around the footy, and that's where it all starts, then Melbourne are going to get on top and they're going to kick a winning score against us. So like most games, it's won and lost in the midfield. We were very much beaten in that midfield and stoppage area last week. So we've got to make sure we get the ball going our way. We probably overuse handball. So, you know, the territory game is massive, no matter what ground you play on, but it'll be huge today.
Yeah, just following on from Schwatter's question then, Melbourne defender Tommy Bug has just put a message out on social media tagging Jason Johannesson in it, saying basically, get ready because Buggy's coming for him. Is that, have you heard any talk of that in the change room so far over the past hour, and what's your take on that?
Well, you're not allowed to have your phones, so he might be getting a fine coming his way. So that's the first I've heard of it. But as I said, boys will be ready. We'll be looking forward to that contest, and hopefully it goes our way today.
Gee, one thing you just touched on briefly before, and I saw you play, I think, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, is that sort of handball to kick ratio a little bit, isn't it? I mean, there's so much pressure around the ball. Obviously, you guys have been a fantastic handballing team last year. But I felt 2 or 3 weeks ago, after halftime, you really adjusted. You were able to, instead of having those 5 handballs around the contest, you were able to sort of limit it to 2 or 3 and then get it into a kicking game and really use the width of Etihad Stadium, lowered your eyes going forward, and you looked a lot more dangerous in the second half of that game. I think it was against the Saints.
Yeah, and that's right. I think, you know, the more you handball, and we were really successful at that, especially last year, and at times we have this year, but the more you do that, you invite pressure, and teams have been able to bring that pressure, not only against us, but I think it's stepped up again in the competition. So we've addressed that especially. And as I said before, that territory game, and if you're under immense heat, just get the ball forward because your forward should be ready and be able to support and be a real contest in front of the ball for you.
Gio, I want to ask you about your moisturising routine, but probably not appropriate pre-game, so we'll let you go. But he got rubber
covered.
That's yours,
Howie.
Well, that's why I need to ask you.
We all know that you love the moisturiser. bit of salt, sand, you know, down Torquay Way with all the your surfing and stuff like that. You'd go something different, I would have thought.
Oh, I'm a bit more hardcore. What do you use? A nice sort of
I use whatever
product?
My wife's got. So,
okay. Have you got Robbo covered down there? Because he is intimidated by you.
Well, he hasn't got as many greys as me, but different demographic now, so sometimes they like the greys.
Good on you, Gio. We appreciate your time.
He's got George Clooney covered.
Oh, he's the only man in the AFL that dyes his hair grey. Good on you, Gio.
Thank you.
Great to speak to the assistant coach of the Western Bulldogs. He'd be a great senior coach one day, Jay-Z, because he's just a lovely fella. I don't know, I'm sure he's good at coaching, but he's a very accessible media person.
Yeah, very good man.
All right, we might need to take a quick break here. Plenty to come.
Are we going to cover off your knee injury?
Plenty to come, including Jay-Z's big three.
MJ, can we take a photo of the injured left knee and discuss this when we get back? For the Barwon Heads Barracudas, Jay-Z, they're the AFL 9s. It's like touch rugby without playing any physical sport down there.
Most blokes wouldn't be here today, Swatter.
Now, AFL 9s, Jay, is like touch rugby, yep, but effectively without the touch. It's non-contact. It's just a real soft version of it. And we need to understand the left knee. Well, it's a good game if you're an outside, not keen on physical contact type of player.
As I said, it's a good game.
That sums you up. Now, you've got your left knee bandaged here. Now, Roosie, normally when you've got an injury, you try to do your best to hide it. Our man's walked in with really tight, sort of really, really, really tight shorts. He's standard thongs or flip-flops and a knee brace on.
And it's 8 degrees outside.
It's 8 degrees. Yeah. Now explain to us what's happened with the Barwon Heads Barracudas.
And a knee brace that went out with ABBA.
Yep.
Well, I just bought this one on the way out from our good friends at Chemist Warehouse, Doc.
Did you?
What happened?
Oh.
Well, I was just having
you
a nice kick of the footy.
You clearly wanted us to talk about it because you've walked in here with the knee bandage on for all of us to see.
I couldn't fit it under my particular jean because I'm a bit more of a skinny G-man. I had a little incident having a kick of the footy. Doc White sorted me out.
What happened?
Well, I was diving to take a mark, and somehow my knee got caught under my ankle, and I went down like a bag of
and
poo.
And what's that brace doing?
Yeah. Well, Doc told me I need to keep it because, as I said, most blokes wouldn't be here. But it was a sort of Darren Criswell. I pretty much had to bang my own kneecap back in.
Really?
There might be a little bit of mayonnaise on that. Criswell
never missed a game.
But just a slight tweak to the media. I'll be up and ready. Well, Doc said it'd take most blokes 6 weeks. He was amazed I was at work, but a couple of weeks and I'll be right to go.
Oh, if you want to see the photo, it's Instagram account and at Twitter.
You're giving me a hard time. Duck played a game of footy in Bali last weekend. Lasted 45 seconds, my spies tell me, Duck.
I simply walked onto the ground because a young man got a compound fracture to his leg.
In Bali.
The bone
in the game.
Sticking out. Not in the game I was playing, but and that's why I didn't play. And we were trying to raise some money for the young man because he had insurance, but not enough insurance to cover that type of injury. And he's still in hospital now in Bali. So I ran onto the ground for 30 seconds so they could auction my jumper. I didn't even go near the footy.
How many jumpers did Luffy get you to sign while he was in your company last week?
Was Luffy playing, was he?
Luffy played about 30 games in 3 days.
What about hamstrings or Laurent Short? Did he get a run out there? He's the coach of the Bali.
He still goes all right, Ricky O. He was pretty good.
He's got hamstrings made of paper, that boy.
Sammy Kranich, who was at the Saints and also Carlton, he was probably the best player out of all the ex-AFL boys.
What about Stevie Baker? Was he up there?
Stevie Baker played. I didn't go and watch the final, but I do believe Stevie Baker got in a little bit of a
scrap.
Was it modified rules or was it full contact?
It was full contact.
And over 46s?
That's the thing about it. There's over 46s and over 35s, I think it is. But I think that they should change the rules over there to similar to the nines here, Swatter, and make it a little bit, because there was some serious injuries. Guys were getting carried off on stretches. And
the preparation coming into those sort of games would be a bit loose, I wouldn't have thought the best medical care
what
over there.
What about the weather, though? What was it?
It was hot.
Oh, yeah. For 45 seconds. But when Duck's talking about over 35s, it's over 35 Bintangs. It's not an H-style situation.
I had my 2.5-year-old and I sat down, and she kept saying that she thought because I was there, I was playing football, but I was doing exactly what you said. I was sitting there with her just enjoying the game with a...
How was Luffy's performance?
Nice cold. He hadn't done much when I first got there, but really wanted to show off after I pointed out that I was there.
This is Jay-Z's Big Three.
Oh, the worst thing in football, that one, but the man that delivers the news is the best in the business, Jay-Z. The Big Three, please.
Well, I've already seen three AFL journalists tweet about this Jason Johannesson social media story.
I told you this would be a story, Doc.
It is definitely going to blow up. Hey, quickly, just on runners. I think they're on the Bunsen burner. They're under the Bunsen burner. If we do see them next year, it will maybe only be after goals. So after a goal is scored, runners may have maybe 2 minutes to get their messages out and then come back onto the field. So it may only be after a goal, if at all, because we know the AFL, including Chief Executive Gil McLachlan, doesn't like these officials, these runners, these water boys out on the ground. So it's going to be heavily reviewed at the end of the season. Ruzzi, would you have any dramas if the runner was abolished from the game?
I just don't see there's an issue. We've had one incident in 100 games. We've had the best season we've ever had. And we're going to take an isolated incident and we're going to change the rules. So it just seems absolutely bizarre.
The next one moving along is Nick Riewoldt. Now, he is clearly playing for a new contract next season. Didn't have his great. He was okay the other night.
Good second half.
Yeah, he had a good second half. Maybe his kicking was just off. He sat with you, Duck, in the Triple M box yesterday. What's your take? Do you think he'll be lining up in St Kilda colours next season?
Pulled up pretty well, I believe. Well, he did. I saw him yesterday, as you said, and he said he pulled up really well. I thought he played a really good game, to be honest with you. I thought he marked the footy really well, took 11 marks. I reckon 5 of those were contested. So,
Does he go on?
I've said all along, I think you address that at the end of the year. We're halfway through a year. It's a long season. I think both St Kilda and Nick will... I know that Nick wants to play on, but in 7 weeks, Nick might change his mind completely, given how his body is. So I reckon they'll work that out later in the year.
You're nodding, Ruzzi.
I agree. I think
the end of the year, and I think Nick, I think I heard him quoted saying, look, yeah, I like to go on, but a lot of things can change. And he knows that. Yeah. He's been around footy long enough to know, you know, we thought his year might have been over sort of thing. So, yeah, look, he's a realist, and I still think he's a really valuable player for them. There's no question about it. Like you said, he's had 21 or whatever. Looked the most dangerous forward in the second half. Looked the most capable one of kicking goals. So he's still clearly in their best 22 by a mile.
Gary Ablett's future, it's been a constant topic, and it's going to blow up again this week because we saw last night him get a lot of treatment from the Carlton side. They physically targeted him, and then he came to the bench. I'm not sure whether it was the second or the third quarter, but had a pretty sort of animated discussion with one of his Gold Coast officials down there, whether it was an assistant coach. And I just wonder whether part of the appeal, fellas, of him going to Geelong next season, and I reckon that's about $1.10, by the way,
really?
Is to try and escape these sorts of tags. So if he goes to Geelong, they know that Patrick Dangerfield, Joel Selwood is still going to get a lot of the heat, and he can escape some of this stuff. Because to me, there were periods last night where he looked like he was a frustrated footballer. So I understand that the planning from a Geelong perspective, if they can do a deal, was that he would play largely forward, say 75% of the game forward, kick that two or three snags a game, and then pinch hit in the midfield. But basically, he would have to go to Geelong as a forward. And I reckon, you know, whether it's a second round pick, you know, even maybe an early third round pick, something that like that might get the deal
well,
done.
Well, surely that's what it's all about. It's what Geelong's prepared to give up to make it happen, isn't it? Because Tony Cochran is a man that pushes a pretty hard bargain, Jay-Z.
Yeah, and I don't think they want to keep Gary Ablett against his will next season because...
Well, he said earlier on in the year that he could potentially not play on if he was playing on the Gold Coast.
But he hasn't categorically said he won't play there. Can we clear this up? Because there's some debate around what he actually said. He hasn't said, I'm definitely going to retire or go back to Geelong, has he?
He said he'll consider retirement for family circumstances.
So he's saying he's unequivocally said he will not play at the Suns next year.
No, it hasn't been that definitive.
That's right, exactly. Yeah. So I think we need to clear that up because there's some misinformation around that. Someone asked me the other day and I said, well, not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
So I think we need to clear that up. I don't think he's come out and said he will not play at the Suns next year.
I don't think we've had another player either.
If the Suns
going to retire.
I think a little bit might determine with Gaz as well. I mean, if the Suns finish off the year really, really well and let's say they just miss the finals, you know, he might think, you know what, they're a real chance to play finals footy next year and you know, let's see this contract through and see if I can do what I came up here to do, and that is get this side into the finals for the first time in their history.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it is hard to do. It is hard to walk away from $1 million and retire.
I think you get about half that at Geelong next season.
No, I'm talking about retirement. So not playing at all.
Yeah.
If the Suns dig their heels in and say, well, not going to trade you, you're contracted.
Yep.
Yeah.
You walk away. You're giving up $1 million a year. Not too many blokes will do that, Howie, would they?
Oh, I wouldn't have thought so.
Gaz has made his money from footy already, surely.
Are the Cats really enthusiastic to get him back?
I understand the coaching department and the list management team are.
Clearly the marketing department would they would make a lot of money. But I'm not convinced about the Geelong fix for me.
If he does come back to Geelong next year,
33? Yeah, okay. Something like that. I think he can play forward and win a Coleman medal.
But is it about winning the Coleman medal or is it about helping the Cats improve over the next 3 to 5 years?
You think he can play forward and win a Coleman medal?
I think he can kick 3 goals a game playing forward. And that's what you need. 60. You don't think he can play three goals a game?
Gary Ablett could not go forward and win a Coleman medal.
Okay. We'll have a bet on that, Duck.
I'll as much as you want.
I'm just watching on the Triple M Chemist Warehouse replay screen, Nate Jones warming up doing some boxing, Roozy. By gee, he throws a bit of a punch on him, doesn't he?
Yeah, Jimmy, the boxing coach, we're just watching that. And Nathan, it's a good little bout when Nathan Jones and Jack Viney get together. So,
who'd win it, Roozy?
Oh, gee, I wouldn't want to put my money... I'd have to split it 50-50.
Geez, a lot of guys look good hitting the pads.
I tell you, talking about the D's in boxing.
The pads don't hit back.
Roozy, years ago, I think it was probably before your time, Melbourne, Brent Maloney was at the Demons, and he used to organise a boxing camp down at Warrnambool. And we went down there with Channel 10 to film some of it, and the boys would get in the ring and do a bit of pad work and then sparring. And I remember Colin Garland jumped in there with the Indigenous flags on his boxing gloves, and Jack Watts rolled in there, and there was sort of a bit of push and shove, and then Cole just went bang. bang, and I'd never seen. Oh, Jack was staggering. They had to sort of pull Col off him. It was, wow.
We did it at Fitzroy years and years ago, and when you let blokes get in the ring that really don't know what they're doing, it's quite dangerous.
AFL Premiership coach never used to take it well getting hit on the beak. He'd chase you for the next 3 minutes if he could, and couldn't control his anger.
The big
Control his anger and wanted to put your head into next week. Well, he was funny horse.
Yeah, he was.
God, he was funny.
He was.
Bit of a horse, was he?
If you gave him a tomato red,
and he'd want to rip your head off.
He'd just come running in, and then you just go pop again.
Ask you a question, Howie. Jones today plays his 235th game. That's 10th all-time for Melbourne.
Yep.
The leading all-time games record holder at Melbourne is, of course, David Neates on 306. So he's got to basically play another, 3 full seasons to become Melbourne's all-time games record holder, Nathan Jones. I think he's missed what, Roosie? One game in the past.
Oh, not many.
8 years from injury. I think he had that crack in his neck last year. Still played. If he's not the most durable player in the competition, I'll go he could become Melbourne's number one.
He's had a tough winning percentage too, which is starting to turn around for him now, Jay-Z, which is great news.
Just about 20%, I think. 25%.
That's pretty tough.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Triple M rocks footy.